A decade ago, Michigan Republicans pushed through a right-to-work law that sought to decrease the influence of organized labor. It let employers hire workers without requiring them to join a union or pay dues. Now Democrats control the state legislature and governorship. They want to repeal right-to-work and reinstall a prevailing wage law that guarantees workers on state construction projects are paid a competitive rate. Several business groups oppose that. Professor Harley Shaken is a labor expert at the University of California, Berkeley. He tells WDET's Russ McNamara changing the two laws would immediately change the state's workforce.
Well, these are two measures that have a lot of impact for working people in Michigan, union and non-union alike. If right to work is repealed, it will strengthen unions in Michigan, and that historically has resulted in real gains for unionized workers, but also non-union worker wages and benefits rise, seeking to match these gains. Way back in 1959, in an interview with Mike Wallace, the legendary 60 Minutes anchor at CBS, Reuther said that what unions do is they create high-velocity purchasing power. What that means is that if workers earn a fairer share of what they produce, if they're getting more in their check, then they're spending more and the economy benefits.
So essentially this would raise up all workers, even if it only traditionally affects unionized workers.
It directly affects unionized workers, but it will benefit all workers in Michigan. If auto workers earn more, teacher wages go up. People in the community begin earning more as those auto workers are spending their money. And of course, this impacts the service economy as well as manufacturing.
Right to work was enacted a decade ago. We've seen a drop in union membership over that time overall. The UAW specifically has been embroiled in corruption seemingly throughout its history, and specifically over the last few years with several leaders convicted or under investigation. It seems like the drop in UAW membership over the past decade could in part be attributed to that as well. Do unions and the UAW specifically have to kind of get their act together?
Unions clearly have to get their act together, and I think most unions really recognize that right now. There is a new wave of interest in unions in this country. Gallup does an annual poll about how people feel about unions. The last one in September had near record highs of approval. Over 65% of those who were polled think unions are a good thing. And if you look at people between 20 and 40, that goes up to about 70%. So there's a new interest in unions, and there's a new appreciation of the kind of things that unions do. Not just fatter paychecks, but also dignity on the job and protection during adverse times. We saw that in particular during COVID. Unionized workplaces tended to have a far more direct and aggressive impact on safety measures during COVID.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. How much of this is attributable to the pandemic, just because it seems like a lot of younger workers specifically are starting to figure out, hey, I kind of like some paid time off. And so we've seen some Starbucks and Amazon employees attempting to organize. Millennials and Gen Z had an outsized impact in the last election. So are we headed towards a more pro-labor future? Or is this just kind of part of the normal ebbs and flows of the workforce?
No, this goes beyond the normal ebbs and flows of the workforce and worker attitudes. We're clearly seeing a resurgence of positive attitudes about unions. The key is, can unions capitalize on these very genuine feelings? COVID fed into this, but it also goes beyond COVID, a sense that the gains are there to be had, but working people aren't sharing in those gains. We've seen in the last year, even in 2021, inequality widen again. We've seen the top 1% having near record gains and just about everybody else stagnating. So when inflation has become a factor, workers want to see more earnings. They want to see a better life for their families, and they look towards unions. So the key issue is unions seizing on this, but also legislation that levels the playing field. That's been tilted against unions for decades now, and it over time has really eroded union membership.
If this repeal of right to work does indeed happen, Michigan would be the first state to do so. Do you see Michigan as being kind of a blueprint for other states, or is this kind of a perfect storm right now for the Great Lakes state?
Well, I think Michigan could well be a blueprint or a roadmap for what other states do. Actually, the last time right to work was repealed in a state was 60 years ago. So it's been a while. 27 states, including Michigan right now, have right to work. But Michigan is not simply any state. It's very visible when it comes to labor history and labor today. So a repeal in Michigan could resonate in other states as well.
Is there concern that because the workers here would be expected to make a higher wage, that it would keep some businesses away? We've seen the state give away billions in tax breaks over the last couple of years, but that has not always historically translated to more jobs and higher paying jobs.
One of the great myths about right to work is it makes a state less competitive. And the business community historically has resisted repealing right to work, saying that it, you know, will make it harder to attract companies. I think that's largely a myth. Here's why. If workers are earning more, you are attracting very often better workers. You are lowering absenteeism. You are creating an atmosphere where a factory or a workplace can become more productive. You can make a company more competitive. We have to look at history here. After World War II, the Detroit automakers, and this was the signature industry at this point in time and for the last half of the 20th century, the Detroit automakers said, if the UAW raises wages, we won't be able to compete. We're all going to go bankrupt. That didn't happen. What happened is record profits and record demand. Walter Reuther put it so well, high velocity purchasing power, but also a workplace where people feel respected, where they earn a decent wage, where they have dignity on the job. That creates a more competitive company, not a less competitive.
Yeah, basically two different philosophies on improving the economy. I guess one is a top-down philosophy with we need to draw in businesses to create the jobs, and the other is to build up the workforce and then attract companies that way.
That's right. And I think that building up the workforce in the long term is by far the better way to go. There's an allure. Any company that pays less can earn more next quarter. But if you're looking at the long term, paying less can be a fool's bargain. Henry Ford realized that in 1913 when he introduced the assembly line, but doubled the prevailing wage in the auto industry. The next year, when Henry Ford introduced the $5 day in 1914, his competitors and newspapers in Detroit said he's going to bankrupt the industry. Instead, Ford had record profits and put the world on wheels. It took labor in the last part of the 1930s, and particularly after World War II, to ensure that higher wages as the key to competitive success became built into the economic system. And we all profited as a result about that. Strong productivity growth, highly competitive companies, and a successful economy. So while the myth is there that if you repeal right to work, it makes a company less competitive, the reality is right to work damages unions and can limit competitiveness because of the deterioration in wages and the workplace. And I should mention, right to work is a bit of a misnomer. It's not the right to work. It's the right for a free ride that that legislation really builds in. No one is compelled to join a union. That's a choice that you can freely make or should be able to freely make. What right to work does is it says if you're covered by a union contract and getting all the gains in the private sector, you basically are getting a free ride because you don't have to pay union dues. That combination, you get the gains, but you don't pay for it, can be very damaging and weaken unions. And that doesn't only affect unionized workers. It also affects everyone in Michigan. Why? Because historically, unions have spoken for working people more generally, members and non-members alike. And what that means, things like minimum wage, Social Security, Medicare in the 1960s, all of that had strong union backing. What right to work does by essentially making it your right for a free ride is it weakens unions financially, and that weakens them at the bargaining table and also in politics more generally.
Harley Shaken is a Wayne State alum and a labor professor at Cal Berkeley. He spoke with WDET's Russ McNamara. A note of disclosure, many employees of WDET are members of the UAW's PNA Local 1979.